service, and we need about 9 tables brought up here, so that would be very helpful. Before I open us in prayer, I want to invite Brock Torrey on up. Brock is leaving tomorrow. He's going to serve our country in the United States Coast Guard, and he's going into boot camp tomorrow, so we want to pray for him and send him off, give him a proper send-off here. Brock's been involved in our church since he's a wee little boy, right, Brock? And his family's all here. His parents have moved to Atlanta some time ago, and they've been involved in the youth ministry and the church, and, you know, just a blessing to our church. So, you know, we want to recognize Brock and pray for him. So I'm going to open us in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you for Brock. I thank you for his commitment to you, Lord. He's a godly man, and he desires to serve you, Lord, and we're just thankful for that. I pray now that as he starts this new chapter in his life, Lord, that you would just guide him and protect him, that you would give him many opportunities to share your love with other people as he serves our country. I pray, Lord, that you would surround him with other Christian young men, Lord, that the chaplains there would be very helpful in his spiritual development while he's there as well. We just pray, Lord, first and foremost, for protection, Lord, that you would just protect him as he serves. I pray for his family, that you would comfort them, and you would just ease any of the worries or anxieties that they might have about this decision that he has to enroll in the Coast Guard. So I pray now, Lord, that you would just send him off well, and that he would come back safe and sound, and you would just provide direction for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Brock. Thank you. So today is the first day of 2017, and every new year comes with these thoughts, right? We say things like this: I can't believe another year has gone by, right? Like time doesn't go by, right? I can't believe this. I wonder what this year holds, we say. Or sometimes we say things like this: I didn't like last year, so I'm glad it's over. I want to shake that off, as if the new year is going to promise something different in the start of a new day. So the start of a new year, though, is a great time to make goals, isn't it? It's a great time to make goals and start to do things that you haven't been doing that you know you should be doing or desire to do. But most of those goals are something positive, right? Wouldn't you agree? Most of the goals that we make are something positive. I rarely hear people say things like this: this year I want to get out of shape. This year I want to gain some weight. This year I want to ruin my relationships. This year I want to develop an addiction. This year I want to have a moral failure. This year I want to lose my job. Anybody hear people say that? No. No, we don't hear people say that. But you know what? We don't make goals like that, but I want to point out something very important. We also fail to make goals that keep us from doing those negative things. So if we fail to make goals in our life, what happens is we fall into old patterns. We kind of live life in the status quo and the way things kind of are, and we head down the same roads that we were heading down. But a new year is such a great time to say, you know what? No, this is going to be different. I'm going to start fresh and start new. So for this week and next, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to give you a bit of a how to live in the new you. The new you God created you to be, because the scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it teaches us when a person trusts in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In Galatians 2:20, it teaches us that we have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer us who live, but Christ lives through us. So these are two of the many scriptures that remind us that we're to be new. We were lost and now we're found. We were dead and now we're alive. The truth is we were old, but now we're new. So why don't we live that way? So today we're going to look at the common phrase that people say around the new year, and you might have even heard it today already. Have a happy and healthy new year. Have you heard that before? Have you said that before? Have a happy and healthy new year. So as Christians, we have to deal with this, right? Have a happy, healthy new year. As Christians, how can we be happy and how can we be healthy? So let's first look at the concept of happiness. Now, by definition, happy is this: a feeling of pleasure or contentment. So last year, you might remember, not very long ago, I think it was last February, I did an entire message on what the Bible says the benefits of happiness are and what should actually make a Christian happy. I think that being happy is a part of living to the new you God created you to be. So as I was thinking about this concept of happiness, this song lyric rang out in my head. And if any of you are Switchfoot fans, you might have heard this song lyric. It's happy is a yuppie word. Have you heard that before? Well, they actually didn't invent that. That actually came from a Rolling Stone interview with Bob Dylan in 1991, I believe. It was around the time that Bob Dylan was turning 50 years old. One of their journalists, Mikael Gilmore, had the opportunity to sit down with this rock legend. Now, this is 25 years ago. Bob Dylan was around 50 years old, or was around his 50th birthday. He's obviously 25 years older now. Gilmore had this opportunity to talk to him, and he was talking to him about this concept of happiness. So Gilmore asked him this. He said, I asked him, did he think he was a happier man now than he was 20 years ago? So he's asking a 50-year-old rock legend, do you think you're happier now than you were 50 years ago? Now, most people say yes or no. But if you know Bob Dylan, anybody, you know, listen to Bob Dylan, read any articles about Bob Dylan, he doesn't just say yes or no. So he gives us this elaborate answer, and I think it's a really cool answer because it really underlines for us something that we can learn about happiness. Dylan said this. He goes, oh man, I never even thought about that. Dylan said, laughing, happiness is not on my list of priorities. I just deal with day-to-day things. If I'm happy, I'm happy. And if not, I don't know the difference. He fell silent for a few moments and he said this, you know, these are yuppie words, happiness, unhappiness. It's not happiness or unhappiness, it's blessed or unblessed. Then he goes on to say, as the Bible says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Then Dylan goes on to say, now that must be a happy man, knowing that you are the person you were put on this earth to be. That's much more important than being happy. Anyway, he said, happiness is just a balloon. It's just temporary stuff. So then Gilmore asked him, do you feel that you're a blessed man? And Dylan said, oh yeah, he said, smiling broadly. Yeah, I do, but it's not because I'm a big rock and roll star. And he laughed and went to his recording session. So that's what Bob Dylan, the rock icon, says about happiness. He pointed out two important things from the Bible about the concept of being happy. The first, in a subtle way, with no quote from the Bible. Did you catch that one? He said this, now that must be a happy man, knowing that you are the person you were put on this earth to be. Knowing that you're the person that you were put on this earth to be. I want to direct your attention to Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, because I believe, first and foremost, we are happy when we live what we're created for. We live what you were created for, or what you were created to be. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 answers that in two ways. And the first is this. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, he says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. So the first thing that we have to understand is this. We were created to have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus went to the nth degree to have a relationship with you and I because we are all sinners and we need a Savior. And the scriptures tell us this, by His grace, He was willing to come and die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, He rose again to prove that He was God. And the scripture tells us this, all who believe will have eternal life. See, that scripture also tells us this, it's not by works so that no one can boast. See, you and I are all created to have a relationship with Jesus. And you know what? You and I are created to have a relationship with Jesus, and it's on His terms. He was willing to die for us. He made it so we can all have a relationship with Him. He didn't make it so only the people that did the best works can have a relationship with Him. He made it so all can have through faith in Him and what He's done on the cross. So if we live for what we were created for, the first thing that we have to understand about that is we were created to have a relationship with Jesus. You know what? Today's day one of 2017. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I can't think of a better day than right today to trust in Jesus. Because Jesus created you for himself. He created you to be in relationship with him. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants you to trust him. He wants to be your world. He wants all of you, and he wants you to trust in him. But the second thing that we learn is actually found in verse 10, which is kind of the verse that nobody really goes to, because the first two verses are kind of like really talking about salvation. But the next verse is so important. It says this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You know what? God created all these good works for us to do. He knows your life plan. He knows what he has for you. He knows the good that he has for you. And here's what he has created for you to do. He wants you to bring glory to him. He wants you to walk in those good works. And you know what? We are happy and we are blessed when we have a relationship with Jesus and we walk in the good works. Because some of you are saying, "I have a relationship with Jesus, but I don't feel happy and blessed." And part of the reason why is you're not actually walking in the good works that God created you to do. You're saying, "Oh, you know what? I'm a Christian and that's it." And then you live your life. But what the scriptures is appealing to us is saying this: walk in those good works. That's what I created you for. So I'll tell you this: if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't have a relationship, being blessed and being happy is impossible. If you do know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't feel happy, blessed, and fulfilled, maybe it's because you're not walking in the good works that he's created you to do. So my question for you is this: in 2017, why not live for what you're created for? Why not? Why not live for what you're created for? Have a relationship with Christ, and in that relationship, do the good works that he's called you to do, that he's prepared in advance for you to do. The second thing is interesting that Dylan said. He quoted Psalm 1. Did you catch that? He said, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Do you know that in 1979, Bob Dylan announced his conversion to Christianity? And if you follow the life and work of Bob Dylan, he had three Christian albums that he wrote, which were really, in my opinion, some of the best Christian music that I've ever heard. Not worship songs, just Christian songs. So in 1979, he announced his conversion to Christianity, but he also realized this: that being in show business, that was a tough announcement to make, because people mocked him, including John Lennon, mocked Bob Dylan for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a man who knows firsthand what it's like to be surrounded by ungodly people. So what Dylan is saying here, he's quoting Psalm 1, and he's saying you're blessed and happy when you surround yourself with people that lead you closer to Jesus. When you surround yourself with people that lead you closer to Jesus. See, Psalm 1's teaching us that we're blessed and happy when we're among other Christians, when we're around other Christians. And you know what? We teach our kids this. If you're a parent, you teach your kids, pick the right friends. Pick friends that are going to be helpful to you. When you find a girlfriend or a boyfriend, pick ones that are Christians that are going to be helpful to you. Surround yourself with people. You know, one of the benefits of being involved in a local church is that we're surrounded by people that love Jesus and want to lead us into a closer relationship with Jesus. You know, if you've been around this church for a while, you probably realize that I talk a lot about relationships. Have you picked that one up? The reason why is because many of you are beaten down by bad relationships, and you need to cultivate good relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us this: "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." We're all responsible for our decisions, right? We're all responsible for the things that we do. But I could tell you this: when you surround yourself by people that are godly people, those decisions come a little bit easier. When you surround yourself with people who do not know God, do not love God, or actually are against God, here's what happens. Those decisions become very difficult. So my question is this: why not make a commitment in 2017 to cultivate some relationships that bring you closer to Jesus? There's many ways you could do that. Getting involved in different ministries here at the church, being involved in church helps you to make those relationships. But we have a ministry that we started some years ago. It's called Prayer Partners. Some of you signed up to have a prayer partner, and what you did was you signed up, and then we partnered you up with somebody, and the commitment was pray for that person weekly. Contact that person weekly, find out what their prayer request is, and pray for them. And some of you are having a great experience with prayer partners. You met a friend through prayer partners because now you have somebody that prays for you. Others of you are like, man, I really dropped the ball on my prayer partner. Oh, yeah. Now I feel guilty. Or some of you are like, my prayer partner is a dud, okay? They never return my text. They don't email me back. They don't answer my phone calls. I need a good prayer partner, you're thinking. Well, here's what we're going to do for you today. Here's my suggestion in a way to cultivate a closer Christian relationship. We have our prayer partners slips out there. If you want to sign up for a prayer partner, sign up, put it in the little plastic container there, and we'll partner you up with somebody. If you never had a prayer partner, that's a great step. What do you do, though, if you have one and they're a dud, you're a dud, it hasn't been going well? What do you do? Well, what I would do is, being it's day one of 2017, is I would call, email, or text my prayer partner and be like, I am sorry that I'm a dud, okay? I'm sorry that I let you down. Let's start this relationship over again and actually do this in 2017. Actually pray for one another. Actually spend time thinking about one another's burdens and different things that are going on in our lives. So that's just my suggestion for one way that you can actually cultivate some relationships that are going to be people that surround you with godly counsel and godly wisdom and things like that. The next part of the common phrase, though, that I want to look at is this happy and healthy is healthy. Healthy, when we hear the word, what do we think of? We think of not being sick, right? Okay, if I say happy and healthy new year, I'm usually talking about things like physical health. But I believe there's three aspects of health that we need to pay very close attention to: physical, emotional, and spiritual. So what I want to do is I want to deal with the first two, physical and emotional, for the rest of our time together. And then next week, for the whole entire week, I want to talk about our spiritual health, being spiritually well. I believe that in order to live up to the new you that God created you to be, physical and emotional health will have a role in how well you can actually perform the good works that God has prepared in advance for you. You get that? So your physical and emotional health will actually help you to perform the good works that God has prepared for you. See, I want to start with physical health. No one likes to feel sick or feel bad, do you? Does anybody here like to feel sick or feel bad? Physical health is so important. But the funny thing is we don't talk about it much in church, do we? We don't talk about physical health much in church. And I started like researching a little bit, different verses and different things. And you know what? This is funny. In 2010, the Gospel Coalition, which is one of the sites that I follow, posted an article, and the title was this. Very offensive to me as a pastor. It was, "Why Most Pastors Are Overweight." I was like, hey, it's not nice. And one of the reasons why is it said they don't teach about it enough. They don't teach about it. They don't focus it on it. Some people think this: physical health is unimportant. Physical health is unimportant. But I think it's kind of comical when people say that, because do you know what most of the prayer requests that come across my desk have to do with? Physical health. Rarely do I get a prayer request that says, Pastor Mike, please pray for me as I witness to my friend at work because they need Jesus and I'm concerned for their soul for eternity. No, it's usually somebody's having a heart attack, somebody broke their leg, somebody does. And these are all good things to pray for, and I believe it's biblical. I'm going to share a verse that's biblical to pray for physical health. But why not pay more attention to physical health when it comes to our lifestyle and how we can serve the Lord? So in 3 John 1:2, you don't have to turn there, I'll just tell you, he just says this: I'm praying for your physical health. So we know this is something that we should be doing. If we have friends, family members, people in the church, we should be praying for their physical health. That's something the scriptures call us to do. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 6. Some of you might remember this passage. I'm not going to go into total depth on this passage because after, I think, January 22nd, I'm going to start an entire book study on the book of 1 Corinthians, and we will hit this in more detail. But 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." So this teaching is teaching stewardship of our bodies. It's teaching this. When you become a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. God with you. It's such an important truth that we know from the scripture. But then this teaching says this, steward your body well. Your body is a temple. So it comes on the heels of Paul in 1 Corinthians talking about all these different sins like gluttony, drunkenness, impurity. They're sinful, but what he's also telling us and teaching us is this, is they're not healthy for us. They're not physically healthy for us. But some don't really pay much attention to that. We pay attention to the sin part, but we don't pay attention to the health part. And some people, they actually teach that the actual physical health or physical training is not that important or not important at all. But 1 Timothy 4:8, some of you might have heard this verse before. And it says this, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So what this passage is teaching us is this, exercise has value, but it's not the ultimate goal. Yeah, that exercise has value, bodily training has some value, but it's not the ultimate goal. Here's how it works. And you might be in this kind of mindset, or you might know people that are in this kind of mindset. Sometimes workout routines and special diets take over our life, and they should not be our focus. Yeah, that sometimes workout routines and special diets take over our life and should not be our ultimate focus. So we should take care of ourselves, but that should not take the place of spiritual training. If you go to the gym every morning, but don't spend any time with the Lord, what's that saying? I would suggest this, if you go to the gym every morning or work out every morning and don't spend any time with the Lord, you have to reevaluate your routine, don't you? You have to think to yourself, you know what? I'm spending so much time keeping myself physically fit, but I'm not paying any attention to being spiritually fit. And what the scripture says is godliness is important for this life and what? The life to come. So it's so important. Excuse me. I would suggest this. Do both at the same time. We live in an amazing time right now. On your smartphone, you could have such as the YouVersion Bible app. I talk about this all the time. I love the YouVersion Bible app, and here's why. Not only can you read your Bible on it, you can listen. Okay, you know when you go to the gym, and I know you gym type people that go to the gym, you hate January, don't you? Because the gym's all crowded. Everybody's like, New Year's resolution. First 3 weeks of January stink. You might as well just stay home and work out because it's so crowded. But what you do at the gym is what? You usually put some music in. Yeah, I get my groove on when I'm running or when I'm doing. Why not spend the first 15 minutes listening to the Bible? You know, last year, I listened to the Bible through the year on the YouVersion Bible app. This year, my wife and I are listening to the Bible with through the chronological Bible. They take it chronologically. But it's part of the routine. It's part of my spiritual routine that I do that. So why not say, you know what? While I work out, if you're a workout person, while I work out, why not double dip a little bit and actually use that time wisely? Our Daily Bread also has an app. You can listen. You know that little booklet we give out there? You can actually listen and they'll read the Bible to you. Let me just tell you this. We can't get any lazier, okay? We can. So what I'm saying is if technology is helping us, why not use it? There's podcasts. Our church has an app. If you miss a sermon, you can listen right through the app. You can download to the app. There's so many tools available for us. So if you're a workout person, do it like that. But you know what? I just want to tell you this. I believe that we need to look at our physical health this way. And here's what I would like to suggest. The first is this. The healthier we are, the longer we can serve the Lord. the healthier we are, the longer we can serve the Lord. So if I pay attention to my physical health, that might actually help me serve the Lord better. I'm not saying longer because I think that God has my day. He knows when the day is, okay? He knows when the day is. But I believe that I could serve the Lord a little longer because I'm not paying attention to the health issues. The longer we stick around and spend time with our family, the better legacy we can leave. Do you know I have a call as a Christian man, not just as a pastor, as a Christian man to leave a legacy for my kids, for their kids, for their kids' kids, and I'm going to do that through my family. So the longer I stick around, the more I can leave a legacy. The third thing is this, the less personal problems we create for ourselves. You know, the Bible says that we reap what we sow. Some people are really reaping the benefits or the lack of benefits of an unhealthy lifestyle. And you know what? I know a lot of people that are overtaken by health issues that maybe were created by bad habits, by sinful habits. So think about this. The less person, how many people want problems? If I was gonna line you all up, come on. Who wants problems? I'm handing out problems. Anybody want to take them today? No. You don't even want to take the bulletin. You don't want to take a problem, okay? So the less personal problems that we'll actually have. But then this one, and I want to be sensitive about this. The less burden we are for those who love us. Think about this. Sometimes we really abuse ourselves, our body. We abuse our body, and then we have health problems. And we become a burden to our kids or to our grandkids. Now, I know there's going to be some health problems that come along that we can't control. But the truth of the matter is, if there's something that I can control in some way, shape, or form by taking care of myself, I'd rather not be a burden to my kids or to their kids. So when we think about health in this way, then the concept the scripture really teaches is you're actually more free to do the good works that God has called you to do. So now, my question for you is this. Why not pay closer attention to your physical health this year in 2017? Why not? What's your reason? Why not? Why not pay closer attention to that? Not make it the be-all, end-all. Not make it the routine. And, you know, you're the person that, you know, I can't do this because I always have to exercise at this time of day. I can't eat this. I can't go to any restaurant. Like, don't be that person, okay? Nobody wants to be around that person because you're no fun, okay? It's the truth. Don't let it take over your life. But have it be part of your life. But then the final thing that we need to deal with health is this. Emotional health. Now, there was a time when I thought that most people were emotionally healthy. Then they invented Facebook. You know that to be true as well. Most of us can agree that we thought people were emotionally healthy, and then we became friends with them on Facebook, and we saw what they say and how they act, and we just shake our heads. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with people? That's what we say. So what happens is sometimes those posts can really be a window to how emotionally unhealthy we are. And unfortunately, with social media, this is happening. People are looking for validation in things like posts, in likes, and social media rants. They have a public voice now, and it's not working out well. By no means am I anti-social media, but it can be a window for other people to see how emotionally unhealthy we are. Why is this a problem? Well, here's the thing. The bottom line is it's very hard to be a light for Jesus to others and be the new you that God called you to be if you're emotionally not well. People are going to steer clear from you. It's the truth. I'm not just talking about social media. I'm also talking about social interaction. How we treat other people and how our emotions are displayed can really either be a light or impact people in a very negative way. So let me just share a few scriptures with you. The first one is in Philippians 4:6. It says this, "Do not be anxious. Worry and anxiety are not healthy and not God's best for you." Worry and anxiety are emotionally unhealthy and not God's best for you. And here's what it communicates to the outside world. If you worry and are anxious about things, what it communicates is that you don't trust. Meaning, you don't trust Jesus. So you might be able to say to people, I trust Jesus. But if you're a bag of worry and anxiety, people are looking at you saying, like, I don't know. I'm not really interested in what they have because it doesn't seem to be helping. The second is in Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger. We all know this. Anger is not a sin, but out of control anger is foolishness and emotionally unhealthy. This is where social media comes in, right? People have these self-righteous rants on social media. And this is like acceptable now. Like, oh, rant done, they'll say afterwards. I'm like, how is this acceptable? I want to tell you this. I don't think that we change anybody's opinion with a self-righteous rant. How many opinions? Have you ever logged on Facebook, somebody was yelling at you, and you're like, you know what? They're right. I'm going to change my ways because of them. Nobody says that. There's a way to talk about things that is pleasing to the Lord. And I'll give you this. Sometimes people have social media rants about things that are very wrong, that should not be being done. And they're right, but the way that they're handling it is actually the wrong way. So I want you to think. Think about Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. This speech has been studied pretty much since it was spoken. They're touting this as one of the greatest speeches of American history. You know what the reason why is? See, King could have vilified everyone. He could have ranted against everyone. He could have returned hate with hate. But what did he say? And what do you remember from what he said? He says, I have a dream. So this is the way things are, but I have a dream that it could be better. You know, he inspired literally millions of people with that speech. And still today, I mean, MLK Day is in January, and people still see it. It's televised, and it always floats around YouTube. I have a dream that things could be better. Do you think King was angry about the way things were? I think he was really angry. But he realized that returning hate for hate and accusations and all those different things weren't going to help. That out of control anger would not help, but emotionally healthy way to deal with people would. The next thing is in Romans 12:15, it says this, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. See, emotionally healthy people are attuned to the people around them. They're attuned to the people around them. Meaning this, if somebody's upset, you're kind of upset with them and your goal is to console them and help them. If somebody's rejoicing, you're rejoicing with them. You're happy for them. But you know what? Emotionally healthy people, when things are going well for someone else and things aren't going well for that person, they're not happy for them. They're actually mad at them. They're actually unhappy. They're not a good friend. They're not a good person, so to speak, because they're not attuned to the other people around them and happy for them. Emotionally unhealthy people are super sensitive to what others say. They generally don't interact with other people in healthy ways. They don't mourn with those who mourn and weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. They're not attuned to the people around them. They're just attuned to themselves and what they feel like. Then Ecclesiastes 3 teaches us this, because we never want to get into this thing, I'm not going to show any emotions, I'm always going to smile. Even though things are going terrible, I'm going to be plastic man and just smile all the time. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3 actually teaches there is an appropriate time for certain emotions. And it's actually not healthy for us to suppress our emotions. Listen to what Sigmund Freud said. He said, unexpressed emotions will never die. They're buried alive and will come forth later in uglier ways. Don't suppress. God's saying you could share those emotions. If you need to cry, you need to cry. If you're upset about something, share those things, but in a healthy way. See, the truth is our lack of emotional health can radically impact the people around us in a negative way. Some of you are living with this. Some of you see this full-fledged in your work, in your friend group, in your family. Some of you are the cause of this. Some of you are the cause of this. So why not in 2017 pay closer attention to your emotional health? Why not in 2017 pay closer attention to your emotional health? Now, my charge to you this morning is this. Commit to making 2017 a happy and a healthy new year because you are acting on the new you that Jesus created you to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each person that's here, and I thank you for making us new, Lord. We can't do this without you. Lord, I pray that we would pursue this concept of happy and healthy, but not in the way that the world does, in the way that you desire us to, following after your scriptures. I'm thankful for each person here. And I just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that doesn't find their fulfillment in a relationship with you, that they would trust you. Thankful again for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to observe the Lord's table. And as most of you know, we do that for two reasons. The first is to really just remember what Jesus has done for us on our behalf, that he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, that there's no salvation apart from Jesus. When he sat with his disciples, he was saying, do this in remembrance of me, because he never wants us to forget the amazing sacrifice that he has laid down on our behalf. The second thing is the scriptures tell us to examine our own lives. You know what? 2017, it's another day, right? It's another year. I mean, realistically, nothing changes on New Year's Day, does it? Nothing changes on New Year's Day. But it is a good starting point for us to mentally say, you know what? I don't want to live in that sin anymore. I don't want to go down that path anymore. God has something better for me. If you're tangled up in some kind of habitual sin that just keeps on recurring in your life, now's the time to just throw it at the foot of the cross and say, you know what, Jesus, I need victory in this. I can't do it on my own. I need you to come in and help. I'm giving it up to you. I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm holding my hands open wide, and I'm letting you take it from me. Communion is a great time. The first day of the year is a great time to say, you know what, I'm going to move from that. And I'll just tell you, and you know this from personal experience, the further you move away in time from a sin that you're committing, in some senses, the easier it is to not go back. She's just like, you know what, if you're a year away, or a week away, a month away, a year away, 2 years away, you say, I don't want to step back in time. I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be the person God created me to be. I want to be new. I want to be what the scriptures tell about me because of Jesus. I'm going to ask the men to come forward that are passing out the elements this morning. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. I'm going to ask George Kuhn to pray.